We turn in the Word of God to the passage which we read earlier, Ezekiel 16 and verse 15 to 34. We'll read again verse 30. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all the but imperious, whorish woman. Our theme this evening is, when the visible church will have anything but the truth. When the visible church will have anything but the truth. Last time we saw the Lord's care of Israel in the first 14 verses, where the Lord describes Israel in Egypt as like a newborn child that had been abandoned in the open field and utterly neglected. In verse 4, as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. Nor I pitied thee to do any of these things, these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. So the Lord goes back to Israel in Egypt because he's giving particularly the history of how Israel was taken and made into a nation and into a kingdom, mighty and strong. And he goes back to Israel in Egypt as being like an abandoned infant girl. And the Lord had cared for her and had nourished her. So verse 6, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. So the Lord looked upon Israel as upon an abandoned baby girl that had not even been washed nor had its cord cut after birth, and abandoned in the open field. And the Lord had pity, and the Lord said to her, live. The Lord formed Israel into a nation that Israel should be the Lord's people and be the outward form, the visible church of God. And the Lord cared for her and nurtured her, then having brought her up to be a beautiful woman, he betrothed her to himself as his. So in verse 8, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. The reference to the covering with the garment means that he covered her disgrace and her poverty. It may also have reference to this being a sign of a marriage proposal, as you find, for example, in the book of Ruth. And so the Lord delivered Israel and made her beautiful in the eyes of the nations and bound himself to her in a covenant of love. So verse 13, thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. So there the Lord declares that he had taken Israel, this abandoned child, and he nourished her and cared for her and made her beautiful as a bride, and he bound himself to her in the covenant of grace. That was the past. But now in verse 15 we turn to the present, or to that part of the history which leads up to the present. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and playest the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy fornications on every one that passed by. His it was. First of all then, self-confidence and unbelief. Self-confidence and unbelief in verse 15 to 25. Israel, having been so blessed of God, instead of recognizing that the Lord had made Israel great and glorious and strong, and as a beautiful woman in the sight of the nations, Israel began to trust in the blessings that God had bestowed, as if Israel was self-sufficient and had no need of the Lord who had done all these things. And instead of cleaving to her true husband, Israel was like a woman who then began, having been so cared for by a faithful husband who was the author of all these good things, she began the faith in Christ and self-confidence are opposites. That's simple enough. Faith in Christ and dependence upon Him for acceptance with God and self-confidence are opposites. They departed from the living God in an evil heart of unbelief, just as they trusted in His gifts and not in Him. And they treated God's blessings as if they were their own attainment, not as things that God had given. Except you repent and turn from your self-confidence, your delusions about yourself, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and bow the knee to Him as a helpless, guilty sinner in need of cleansing from sin. So self-confidence and faith in Christ are incompatible. When the one goes up, the other must come down. In 9, they are accused explicitly of covenant breaking. But that's what these verses are talking about. They're talking about the fact that instead of cleaving to the Lord as their covenant God and as their true husband, they made leagues and covenants with the nations, the pagan nations. And you may say, well, how can that be, since the elect of God are called by God and kept in the faith of God? If you break the covenant through unbelief, then God will not be your God, and He shall say, Lo ami, as in Hosea, not my people. So this was held out to all, but only some were individually elected to eternal salvation. And Romans 9 indicates that. The God who has mercy, on whom He will have mercy, and whom He wills He hardens. That He chose Isaac, but not Ishmael. He chose Jacob, but not Esau. And in the outworking of God's eternal decree, the elect within the elect nation, the elect individuals, were renewed by the Spirit of God, working in their hearts and making them willing and able to believe upon the coming Savior and to keep the covenant of God. But at this time, such were few in number. And here we see their unfaithfulness, that those who kept the way of the Lord were few, and the multitude were utterly unfaithful, not only in gross idolatry, but in their unlawful covenants with the pagan nations in whom they trusted for help. And so they looked to the Egyptians, verse 26, who are described as great of flesh, meaning that just as an immoral woman looks for an impressive man, so Israel had gone to Egypt being impressed by their political and military strength. They thought they could find refuge in Egypt. They did not trust in the Lord, so they went to Egypt for help. But the result was that their true husband, the Lord, reduced his provision for them. Verse 27, "Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way." The Lord made Israel a disgrace in the eyes of the Philistines. And verse 28, they tried the Assyrians. And so you find Israel went to Egypt for help, or then they went to Assur, to the Assyrians, for help. And even when they were taken into Chaldea, into Babylon, in verse 29, they still didn't turn. They still followed after idols. Like a woman running to great lengths in sin and immorality. This is a warning. Those of you brought up in the church of God, have you kept the way of the Lord? Have you cleaved to the mediator of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ? Is God your God? Turn aside to foolishness. But then thirdly, sinning for loss. Sinning for loss. Verse 31 to 34. Verse 31, "In that thou buildest thine eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as an harlot, in that thou scornest hire. But as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband, they give gifts to all whores. But thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers, and hirest them, that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. And the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredoms, whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredoms. And in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee, therefore thou art contrary." Now this is saying, in very graphic terms, but it's there in the Word of God. It's saying that Israel wasn't even like a whore, because a whore makes money out of her sin. But Israel was like a woman who ran and offered payment. That's what it's saying. In other words, there was no gain in her unfaithfulness. There was a loss of prosperity. There was a loss of freedom. This was not a profit-making concern. And even when they saw this, they still went on seeking false answers and false alliances, like an unfaithful woman, and losing out every time. Whatever their intention, whatever their hope of gain, they lost every time. What an example of all sin and unbelief. That sin that promises so much and is always lost. Ultimately, always lost. Sin never profits those who commit it. Never. And in its most ultimate form at all of all. Those who hear the gospel and despise it and go on in sin, the pleasures of sin for a moment, but the wages of sin are eternal. Fortunate profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What a loss. That sin, the pleasure of which is so momentary, even our whole lives are but fleeting. But the wages of sin, the death, the eternal death of the pains of hell forever, they shall never end. That sin that promised so much and brings only loss and nothing but loss. If that describes you, you must turn from this suicidal madness of unbelief, and you must turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, the great Savior. Guilty sinners. And that brings us fourthly, weakness for all sin and strength against the Lord. Weakness for all sins and strength against the Lord. Verse 30, how weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious whorish woman. We're now in a position to grasp the meaning, which is this, that as far as defying the word of God is concerned, that as far as being determined not to have the Lord, that as far as being resolved against the truth of God, that as far as being oblivious to the word of the Lord, Israel was like an imperious, whorish woman. She was bold and impudent in unbelief. She was as hard as stone against the Lord. And yet, as far as all the different demands of sin were concerned, how weak is thy heart? And here and there, everywhere. Within the realm of sin, she was weak-hearted, a prey to any and every foolish course of action. The only thing she was strong about was being against the Word of God. And hence we come to where we began in our title. When the visible church will have anything but the truth. You see, that's an exaggeration. Might have been true then, but not now. Well, is it not true now? What's the one thing that is despised by vast swathes of the profession church? Is it not the glorious biblical teaching in the heritage of the Protestant Reformation, the biblical gospel, the truth of salvation by grace through faith in Christ? Is it not those great cardinal sayings of the Reformation period summing up the biblical teaching? Scripture alone, grace alone, Christ alone, faith alone. How much of the professing church wants to hear of these things? Only a small, despised corner. But if you talk of compromise with Rome, yes, let's have it. If there's talk of so-called gay Christian churches, sodomite churches, yes, we can accept that. If it's a case of charismatic charlatans and rogues out to make a killing, yes, bring them in. Or second-rate entertainment, masquerading as evangelism, yet we'll have that as well. Anything. Not that old narrow bigotry by which they mean biblical Christianity. That's the one thing that many sections of the professing church, the one thing that they know they don't want. Is it the one thing that you do want? I hope so. Because it's the only thing that's any good. The rest is useless. Utterly useless. There were those like Ezekiel and the remnant of the godly, even yet, because the Lord does preserve a true church in the earth, who sighed and who cried for the abominations done in the land. And they were still left in the midst of all this mess. There was a seed to serve the Lord. If that is true of you, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It doesn't say blessed are they who run with the majority, who keep up to make sure they're at the cutting edge of current ecclesiastical trends. They are not pronounced blessed, but the meek, the poor in spirit, the mourning, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They are pronounced blessed by the only one who can make men blessed, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord sees, and he does not forget the poor and needy who call upon his name, small and despised they be. And this true religion will flourish again when all of this nonsense has been swept to one side. It is the true religion, biblical Christianity, the truth as it is in Jesus, what we call the Reformed faith, the truth that salvation is both absolutely needful and yet entirely of God, that forgiveness is through faith in Jesus Christ as the one who bore the guilt of sin, and that faith itself is the gift of God, bestowed according to his sovereign good pleasure in giving a new heart as he pleases to sinners. That truth will flourish again, because it is truth. And the cause of that truth is the Lord's cause. And he will plead the cause that is his own when all these other iniquitous fads have come to nothing. And those who hope in the mercy of God in Christ Jesus will not be cast off by him. He will own them as his. He will own them at the great day of God as those who are not ashamed of his words in this evil generation. But if the other side is the case, if you prefer the false, and if in your heart you resent this biblical Christianity, you must turn. You must turn from your wicked resentment. And may the Lord give you grace and give you a new heart to do so. You must turn from that wicked resentment at the truth of God. You must turn from that abhorrence of the one thing that you need, which is the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must embrace the Christ of the Scriptures that is declared to you in this place, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who bore the guilt of sin, the one who was God and became a man without ceasing to be God, who fulfilled all righteousness and who bore the sin of many, and who is now at the right hand of God, and who is known only through the scriptures of truth, and before whom you must bow in repentance, turning from your sins and trusting only in him to deliver you from that eternal wrath which your sins justly deserve. You must come to him and rest and rely upon him and give up all your falsehoods and all your sinful pleasures, and you must come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of guilty sinners. And if, like these people, you've had the truth of God for many years, you know of it, you've known, you've heard, and yet you've despised it, your sin is very great. But the Lord is good and ready to forgive, and he will receive sinners who seek him and who call upon him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. To you is the word of this salvation sent.